Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Foundational Truths for Life podcast. My name is Matthew Curtis. I invite you to come with me on a journey through Scripture as we discover and uncover foundations of biblical truth. We're going to put one hand on the love of God. We're going to put the other hand on the faith of God. They go together. You cannot have faith without love. And then we're going to find how to apply the Word of God to our everyday lives today in Christ. When we first started this title series that introduces this podcast, I had no idea we'd be ministering this many episodes, and there's so much more that I have on my heart to minister this title series. But if this is your first time joining us today, I highly encourage you, go back to episode one. Get started with us. Each episode builds upon each other. And so I highly recommend that you do. But if you've got your Bibles handy wherever you are, or if you're just listening, I encourage you to listen with your spiritual ears. The Holy Spirit is speaking anytime the anointed word is being preached or taught. And the Holy Spirit can minister to you answers to your questions, exactly what you're looking for, exactly what you're believing Him for, even though the ministry material topically may not be discussing something you're believing for, something you're looking to receive from the Father. But the Holy Spirit knows what each person needs. He doesn't need me to say word for word exactly what you need to hear. But as you listen with faith, with expectation, as you believe God for spiritual ears, the Holy Spirit can bring up inside you and put in you exactly what you're believing Him for. So before we go any further, let's pray over this episode, over the ministry of the Word. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Every listener under the sound of my voice and I agree together, and we ask you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of this Word being preached today. We ask you to enlighten the eyes of our understanding that we may see and know what's the hope of your calling for our lives. What are the riches of the glory of your inheritance for us in the saints, and cause us to experience together what is the exceeding greatness of your power toward us as we believe. Oh, my Father, we ask you for ears that hear. We ask you for seeing eyes. Touch the hearts of every listener. Cause them to open before you like flowers that bloom in the springtime. Hallelujah. And Lord, we just yield ourselves to you. We surrender ourselves to you. We humble ourselves before you. We recognize we know nothing as we ought to know. Everything we know, you've taught us. Through someone, by your Spirit, we've learned nothing of our own selves, Father. We are nothing of our own selves, but in you and with you, we are more than conquerors. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ. Praise the Lord. Jesus is our name. We have the name of Jesus, and we are going all the way with you. And we thank you for these things, Father. In Jesus' name, we believe that we receive. Amen. Let's go to our foundational scriptures for this episode in the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, verse 16. This is the King James Version. The Spirit of God is speaking through Isaiah, and he says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believes shall not make haste." Praise the Lord. Who is the foundation? Who is the tried stone? Who is the precious cornerstone, the sure foundation? Well, let's read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 9 through 11. This is the King James as well. "For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building." Now, who's that talking to? That's talking to us, God's people, the church. Verse 10, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Praise the Lord. Jesus is the one whom we love. Jesus is our everything. Jesus is the brightness of our rising, the brightness of our mind. Jesus is our life, our health, our strength. Jesus is our hope and peace. Hallelujah. Jesus is our healing. He is our everlasting joy. Hallelujah. Jesus is everything, and He is our foundation. He's the foundation of the body of Christ, and He is the foundation of us individually as children of God. Let's go back to the first covenant for our next scripture. We're going to Isaiah again in chapter 51, beginning in verse 1. This is the King James Version. Hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness. Let's pause right here. Is that you? Are you a follower of righteousness? I know I am. Hallelujah. Let's keep reading. You that seek the Lord. Now let's pause again. Is that you, my brother, my sister? I know that's me. I'm a follower of righteousness. I'm a seeker of the Lord. Then He's talking to us, is He not? Because He said at the very first of the verse, hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness, you that seek the Lord. All right. Now, what does He want to say? What's the main message here? Look unto the rock whence you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence you are digged. Now that's the King James. It's a little blind to us, especially the latter part of that verse. But you can see the main point that he's getting at. Look unto the rock whence you were hewn. In the ESV, it says, look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. I'm going to ask you again, are you a pursuer of righteousness? Are you a seeker of the Lord? Then this verse is directed towards you and towards me. What do we need to take heed of? The Spirit of God is saying through Isaiah, look to the rock from which you were hewn. Well, we just established who the rock is, the foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Spirit of God is also telling us something, that we were hewn or we were cut from that same rock. We discussed in previous episodes about how Jesus is the bedrock. We discussed an ancient Bible era city called Petra, and this entire city was hewn or cut out of bedrock. And so if the Holy Spirit is telling us to look to the rock, that would be Jesus, from which you were hewn, from which you were cut, what's the purpose? Why do we need to look to this rock? And also to the quarry from which you were dug. The rock is the material. The quarry is the place, the setting. It's the entire substance all as one, right? The quarry, if you went to a quarry today, it's going to be an entire area where, for example, in the Branson, Missouri area where I live, there's a lot of quarries. And this is where gravel is made from. They dig in and blow the bedrock and quarry out gravel. And this is used for cement, for actually pouring a foundation. So that's what the Lord is saying to us. Look to the rock. We need to remember who our rock is. We need to remember where we came from. We need to remember who we are. You see what I'm saying? Okay. So why does this have any place in our scriptures, in our foundational scriptures? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's go to our other foundational scripture we've been reading in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. This is the King James. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elias, and others, Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Here's where these two scriptures connect, the one in Isaiah 51 and right here in Matthew 16, 18. And I say also unto thee that you are Peter, that's Petras, and upon this rock I will build my church. That word rock right there is Petra, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We also talked about this in one of our previous episodes. Jesus is literally saying Peter is a chip off the old block. Now, we wouldn't call the Lord an old block. That's just the saying that most people are familiar with. But Peter is a chip off of the rock. Peter is a rock off of the big rock. Peter is a rock off of the bedrock. You see what I'm saying? He's built, He's made from the same material. Jesus is that rock, the foundation of the church, and we are a rock from the foundation. We are a rock that's been hewn out of that foundation. We have been made to be the same rock that Jesus is. We're not the big bedrock like he is, but we are a rock off of who he is. Oh, hallelujah. And that verse will preach, look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the quarry from which you were dug. You know, it's very important that we remember who we are in Christ, that you are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. You are royalty, the scripture declares. You are more than just a human being. You are a spirit being, and you are called to live eternally like God. That is a God character. That is a God-like characteristic where you are eternal. You cannot die. Hallelujah. And this rock that Jesus is, he is the example that we look to find out who we are. You see, Christians should be having no midlife crisis trying to find out who they are, moving halfway across the world or going on months-long trips to try and discover who they are, or having mental breakdowns and having crisis in the middle of their life because the life that they've lived up until then has just been boring and drab and unfulfilling. And so they're trying to find something that fulfills them, trying to find a purpose, trying to find a reason for living and existing. No, we already have a reason to live. Jesus gave us that reason. Praise the Lord. We are like him. We have been made to be like him. And we're supposed to do his works. We're supposed to preach the same gospel that he preached. Hallelujah. We're supposed to represent him to this world. And we must remember who we are. We must remember where we came from. Because as he is, the scripture says, so are we in this world. Let's go there. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, this is the King James Version. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Praise the Lord. Does that not put hope in you and excite you and give you a purpose to be like Jesus? That's the ultimate goal, to live like him, to walk like him, to talk like him, to act like him, to think like him. There are so many things that Jesus is and that he's made himself to be. And if we'll believe it and receive it and begin to put the word into practice, begin to put his promises into practice, we will become like him. Hallelujah. It's like looking in a mirror, and instead of seeing you, we see Jesus. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but that excites me. Looking at myself back in the mirror, I'd rather see Jesus. Hallelujah. But anyway, let's look at another scriptural example of as he is, so are we in this world. And we're talking about Jesus, the rock, the foundation. And we're understanding that we're cut from the same rock. We are the same substance. We are as he is. As a refresher, Jesus called Peter Petras, which was like a stone that you would throw, or at the most, a boulder. But Jesus called himself the rock, and that is bedrock. And we gave two big examples. One we've already mentioned, Petra, the ancient Bible-era city that was literally hewn out of the bedrock. And then also the Rock of Gibraltar, the jagged cliff bedrock that's protruding out of the ground right as you enter the Mediterranean Sea. You can't miss it. And so that's who Jesus is, and that's who we are. The question is, can we be like Jesus? You know, a lot of people believe that they're just old sinners saved by grace, and that's all they'll ever be. But I can see and read in the Bible that God is calling us up higher, not just to exist as our own selves and wallow in the muck and the mire as a sinner, and we could never be anything good or anything righteous or anything greater. But I can see how in the scriptures, God is calling us to be like him, like the Christ, and Jesus coming as the example. He set the example for us to see. He set the example for us to look at. And if Jesus could do it, if Jesus could be it, if Jesus could think it and act it and talk it, you see what I'm saying? Then so can we. Jesus even said it himself, that as he is, so are we in this world, according to John and according to Jesus' own words in the gospel. These works that I do, the same you shall do, and greater than these shall you do, Jesus said. But let's look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. As an example, let's talk about, can we think like Jesus? Is that a possibility? Or is Jesus just too high and holy for us? We could never attain to how he thinks. All right? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. For who has the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? If you didn't read further and somebody just asked you that question, what would you say? Well, a lot of religious people would just be like, well, yeah, that's true. I mean, who in the world would know the mind of the Lord? You know, who in the world would be able to know how God thinks? Who would be able to know how Jesus thinks? Well, let's keep reading. But we have the mind of Christ. Paul answers his own question. Let's look at this in the ESV. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Praise the Lord. If you and I have the mind of Christ, that means the same way that Jesus thought. We have the capacity as a born-again believer to think and to mind exactly like Jesus did. Now, that's not wishful thinking. That is Bible. Matthew Curtis did not write this. We have, as a born-again believer, the same ability to think exactly like Jesus. So then why don't we? Well, a few reasons. I'm going to reference Isaiah 51 again, because we don't look to the rock that we were hewn from. We don't remember the quarry that we were hewn from. We don't look at who Jesus is. We don't see the word as living, alive, and talking to us today. You see, we have to receive revelation from the Father in the written word and through the anointed preaching and teaching of the word to see Jesus, to see the rock that we were cut from. What do we think when we read the scripture that says, but we have the mind of Christ? How do you process that? I'm going to ask you all a question, all of you hearers, all of you listeners to the podcast today. When you read that, how do you process that? Do you think, oh man, that would be really nice to be able to have the mind of Christ? What do you think? Do you think something else? What we should be thinking, and again, referencing Isaiah 51, looking to the rock from whence we were hewn or cut out. Remember, that word, that's an older word we don't use very much anymore. To be hewn, that's past tense. Look to the rock you were cut from. But whenever you read this scripture, do you think that this is for you? Do you see that the Bible is presenting the mind of Christ to you like a gift that you must receive? Do you see this as a promise from God to you? When you read this, do you think, I can have the mind of Christ? Does it put hope in you that you can take this word, believe it, apply it to your life by faith and expectation and your confession, and it coming to pass for you? If you don't, then you are missing out on so many parts of the Bible. Because if you don't see it in this scripture, then you more than likely don't see it in many other scriptures. Do you see the relationship between Isaiah 51, looking to the rock from whence you were hewn, and our lives today in Christ? When you're reading the Bible, it's not enough just to read the scriptures. God has put treasures in these scriptures. He has put revelation that the Father is waiting to reveal to each and every one of us. And if we don't mix faith with what we're reading, we're going to miss out on so many good and wonderful things that God has for us. In our previous episode, we were discussing heavily about how the Father speaks by revelation. The Father speaks to our spirit man and reveals, he uncovers things that are hidden in the spirit, in the spiritual realm. Spiritual things you can't see with your natural eyes. You can't ascertain and understand with your natural ears. They are understood, comprehended, ascertained in the spirit of a person. We are a spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body, the scripture teaches. And it's in your spirit man and your spirit man enlightening your understanding when revelation comes. That's how you hear from God. That's how you receive revelation from the Father. So putting this practically for our everyday lives, when you're reading the Bible, there are buried treasures just underneath the surface. Some are laid deeper into the ground of the word. Some are just right there, ready for you to move some dirt off. They're just right there, ready for the Lord to reveal to you. But you're not going to get anything unless you mix faith with what you're reading. Practically speaking, pray before you read the Bible. Pray before you go to church. And ask the Lord for yourself and for your family. Get your family in on it. And believe God to enlighten the eyes of your understanding. The scriptural prayer that I prayed from Ephesians chapter 1 at the very beginning of this message, I pray all the time. I think I pray it on a daily basis, whether it's for me or for somebody else. That scripture is real to me. I ask the Lord before I read the word, before I hear the word being preached at church as an example. I will pray and I'll ask the Lord, Lord, enlighten the eyes of my understanding. Open my eyes to see what you're speaking to me today. I open my heart to you, Father, by faith. In advance, I mix faith with the word that I'm getting ready to read, or I mix faith with the word I'm getting ready to hear. That's when it's going to profit you something. And that kind of heart of expectation, God can reveal to you what he desires for you to see on a daily basis. And Jesus becomes a living God to you. Jesus becomes so real, and he begins to speak to you on an everyday basis. He speaks to you when you read the word. He speaks to you in your fellowship time with him, by his spirit to your spirit. He speaks to you when you go to church. He speaks to you through the preaching and teaching of the word at church. He'll speak to you on your daily commute to work as you're fellowshipping with him, as you're looking to him on the inside. He'll speak to the believer every day of their lives. And you can get to a point where you're walking so close with the Lord that you can have a conversation with him in your heart because you know how he speaks. We are spiritual beings, hallelujah, and we are supposed to live our lives by revelation from the Father, not just some figment of our imaginations, not just things that we make up or dream up in our mind like we dream or imagine that God is saying something to us. No, something that is actually going on in our spirit man. Revelation from the Father, the Lord speaking to us by his living voice, God revealing truth to us out of his scriptures, us mixing faith and acting upon what he gives us, what he shows us in his word. Before we close today, let's go to one more scripture in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. This is the King James Version. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Hallelujah. Oh, the scripture just nourishes your spiritual man and builds you up so much. The revelation from this word, part of it is that whenever you hear the word preached, whenever you hear the gospel preached, it's not going to profit you anything unless you mix your faith with it. As you're hearing it, even before you hear it, the word of God at your local church on Sunday morning, the word of God as you sit in your chair to read the Bible, it will never profit you anything unless and until you mix your faith with what you hear. You have to be ready to hear from God. You have to be ready in your spirit, and you have to be ready in the natural. We could talk about so many things along those lines, but we just don't have time in this episode. The biggest thing is preparing your heart to receive the word that you read and preparing your heart to receive the word that you hear, like on Sunday morning or on Wednesday night or Sunday night even, or at a revival that you go to, at a conference that you go to. The word will not profit you anything unless you mix your faith with it. You've got to be ready to do what God shows you. You've got to be ready to put it into practice. If you just hear lazily, if you're not stirred and hungry to be a doer of God's word, then that is not mixing faith with what you're hearing. If when you hear, you choke on it and you draw back in fear and unbelief and you disagree with the word and you think you're disagreeing with the preacher, or you read the word and you just read over it, and after you read a couple of chapters, you're just like, what in the world did I just read? I have no recollection of what I just read. Then that is a good sign you are not present in spirit. Your mind is somewhere else. And like my father in the faith says, your heart is not in what your mind is not on. That is such a profound truth, even though it's so basic, so profound. If you want to get something out of the Word, if you want to receive revelation from your Heavenly Father, you've got to put your mind on what you're hearing, on what you're reading. You've got to dedicate all your focus, all your attention on the hearing of the gospel being preached, on what you're reading, so that when God reveals something to you, you see it. And you don't see it naturally, you see it spiritually with the eyes of your heart. Hallelujah. Are you seeing what we're saying to you today? If you're hungry to receive revelation from the Father, it's right there, ready to be discovered. But you've got to mix faith with what you hear. You've got to mix faith with what you're reading. And then God will open the windows of heaven to you. And He'll pour out revelation to you you didn't know you could receive. Hallelujah. So much that you'll get answers for your marriage. You'll get answers for your life, for your finances. You'll get answers and direction for your ministry, for your business. Praise the Lord. But just mix faith with what you hear so that God can reveal to you and show you what He wants you to see on a daily basis. This is the other side of instigating revelation from God. We asked that question in the previous episode. How do you instigate revelation from God? Well, one side of it is, it's your hunger and thirst for the righteous things of God. If you're not hungry in the natural, are you going to eat? If you are just stuffed because you went to the Golden Corral buffet, if you're just stuffed and all fat and sassy, as they say, are you going to feel like eating anymore? Probably not. I know that there are some who, after they got full and they see a nice slice of pie there, they probably go for it. I've been there too. I've done that for Thanksgiving and things like that. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about when you're full and you're satisfied and you're stuffed. You don't feel like eating anymore. You don't have a hunger working on the inside of you. But whenever you are not hungry, whenever you're starved, whenever you're famished, whenever your hunger is stirred, you hear people say things like, I could eat a whole cow. I could order the whole menu. You see? And so if we can be like that for natural food, why can't we be that hungry for the written word of God? Why can't we be that hungry for the living word of God? Why can't we be hungry for church and going to church and for spiritual things? Why can't we be hungry for God and His things? We can. We can stir up our hunger. We can stir up and instigate revelation from the Father by stirring up our hunger for Him. And that's the first side. But then the second side is mixing faith, getting prepared to hear from God, and making a conscientious decision that I am going to hear from God today. When I read the Bible, I am going to hear from God as I read. When I go to church today and I hear the preacher preach, I am going to hear from God. God is going to speak to me. Hallelujah. God is going to give me answers. He's going to give me solutions. God's going to open my eyes. Praise the Lord. Do you see what we're talking about here? Mixing faith with what you hear in your heart, putting it in your mouth, and watching how God will reveal to you the hidden treasures of His Word and build in you this wonderful foundation of Christ so that you can build up and find and fulfill all that God has called you to be. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise over your word today. I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, and I ask you to stir this word in them today. I ask you to reveal and uncover these precious truths. Cause them to think about it and meditate upon it, Father, so that you can plant it deeper into the ground of their spirit. And Satan, we bind you in Jesus' name. We forbid you from stealing the word off of the good ground of their heart. In the name of Jesus. Amen. My friends, if you believe that, join your faith with me about that, because the enemy is always endeavoring to steal the word that was sown on the good ground of our hearts. And so be ever watchful of that. As soon as you see what you need to do and put it into practice, do it so the enemy has no place in your life. All right, my brothers and sisters, we love you. The blessing of the Lord be upon you. The favor of God surround you. And something good happen for you this week in Jesus' name. We'll see you on the next episode of the Foundational Truths for Life podcast.
Hi, my name is Jason. And all of us at the Kingdom Inheritance Ministries family would like to thank you for tuning in. If you received from this message and you're inspired to give us your testimony, please send us an email at connect@kim.faith. That's connect@kim.faith. Or you can write us at P.O. Box 1513, Branson, Missouri 65615.